It's a header on goal! And Jordan Morris has done it! Appealing in vain for offside. The Chicago Fire defenders, Jordan Morris, from the doorstep, saves the day for the Sounders.
Clear. A foot race the other way. Look who's running hard after defensively. Wayne Rooney, the net is empty. Big collision by the captain. That is unbelievable effort. Rooney putting one up. Acosta. Header. Goal. Hat-trick Acosta.
Paul picks it up. Paul's cross. Ibrahimovic. Are you serious?
It doesn't get much better than this, folks.
Hello and welcome to the Stateside Soccer Show. My name is Jordan. I am on my own today as Logan is unable to join us, and figured I would go ahead and knock this episode out today. We had the semifinals of the League's Cup yesterday. We had the quarterfinals. What was that, like Friday over the weekend, somewhere around there? And I think it was Saturday, actually. And then now we are getting ready to look ahead at the final, which is this Saturday, the 19th. So we'll be diving into all of that stuff just momentarily. But thank you all for joining us. If you are listening along or if you are watching along on YouTube, please make sure that you are subscribed to us on either YouTube or podcast. Make sure you can rate and review us on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts as well. It helps other people find the show, and it helps us be able to continue doing all of this podcasting. But thank you for all of our supporters who usually come in and email in. But I do want to just say too, I put up a tweet on Twitter, a poll, or I guess on X now, whatever it's called, right? And that's still open for a few days, so if you need to go over there and check it. But it's a question about these two finalist teams. And this may have been coming from a part of me that was a little upset last night as a Philadelphia Union fan. But I put, has Nashville and Miami surpassed the Philadelphia Union? And what I mean, I couldn't fit it all in my words here, but I mean, like, kind of in status of Major League Soccer. I also put on there, you know, like how much do you actually, like, does the League's Cup win matter more than the Supporter Shield? So my whole point in asking this is because the Union have been increasingly from 2014 becoming a better team, reaching finals, but ultimately losing that big match. And, you know, yesterday they were in the, yesterday they were in the semifinals of this, but, a couple weeks ago, right, in December or November, right, November, because of the World Cup, they had a MLS Cup final that they had a lead in and blew it just seconds away from the final whistle. They've reached Open Cup finals in 2014 and 2015. They lose to Seattle and to Sporting Kansas City. They lose to Houston in, what was that, 2018 Open Cup. They won the Supporter Shield in 2020, which, as a fan, I love, right? I loved that. I was happy to win that silverware. Part of me also thinks, you know, with the most caveats of a Supporter Shield, where you're like, well, they're not facing everybody twice, it's not as meaningful, but they're still the best team with the most points. That year, though, also, we had COVID, where it was a really unbalanced schedule. Talking about facing the same team three or four times in a season. So it's a little harder, I guess, to compare how that is. 2021, they lose to Eastern Conference Final, to NYCFC due to some COVID issues that they had. 2022, they lose MLS Cup final. So they've been reaching these finals, you know, that they haven't really made it far in the Champions League. They'll get to, you know, decently far, I think semis, right? And then they haven't ever reached that high yet of winning a big cup. You know, you can win the Supporter Shield where it's not like a big game, you know, it's just like every game is just you're winning and you're doing what you need to do. So far the results, I had four options on this poll. It has 2 days left. Yes, they have. Nashville and Miami have passed Philly. No, they haven't. And too soon to tell. All right. What's winning right now is too soon to tell. 44%, 31% say no, they haven't. And 25% say yes, they have. My opinion on this is whoever wins this has certainly surpassed the Union in stature in MLS. You may already say Miami's there because of their players, but let's forget that for a second and just say this club, Miami, entered the league in, what, 2020? And they've been dreadful. But they're now making this cup run, and they are beating good teams by a lot. We'll talk about the result at Philadelphia. 4-1 final. Union don't usually give up that many goals. That is a tough thing, right? That is a tough thing to stomach as a Union fan, and if you're a Philadelphia fan watching that game last night. But the main thing is too, like when they're in the Champions League, they don't usually play or beat that many good teams. And then you have the cup runs, right? Now, of course, 2014, 2015, they were not a good team. 2018, they were kind of borderline at that point, right? It wasn't not till like 2019 and 2020 that this Union team really started picking up steam. But they haven't been able to win the big game. So if one of these two teams wins this game, which we know they will, one of them will, then that is a very, very big cup. I know I saw some Philadelphia Union fans say, well, it's just League's Cup. We're not worried about it. It's a made-up cup. All cups are made up, by the way. But this is a big deal. I don't understand how some fans can brush this result aside. For me, any trophy is great. Now, that's why I was very pleased with the Supporter Shield in 2020. But there's something about actually winning a final and winning a cup, right? Where you can say, we were the best team in that competition. It's tougher to say that on a COVID-shortened season, really, really odd schedule of 2020 Supporter Shield. Especially because right after that, right, they get bounced in the playoffs by the Revs, who they beat to actually win the Supporter Shield. So, it's this delicate balance of what matters more. Does a continental competition like the League's Cup, while it's only two leagues, but it's the two toughest leagues in our stratosphere, it's the two toughest leagues in this continent, does this matter more than a Supporter Shield? In my opinion, yes, it does. And I will not really concede to the other option of no, it doesn't. Because while the Supporter Shield is like a very good thing to see, who was the best team season long, even though they don't play each other, like even though it's not a balanced schedule, I think you can still kind of gain something from that. But when you are playing against teams that are heavy hitters in the region, and if you can win this competition, that is a huge, huge thing. That is huge. Looking at what Nashville has done, right? If we pivot away from Miami, Nashville entered this league very recently as well. What year was it? 2021? I'm like blanking on these starting years right now. I think they were 2021. Oh, no, 2020. That's right. They started 2020 during COVID along with Miami. All right. So both of these clubs have started in the same season. Both of these clubs started in the same season, 2020. Nashville has hit so many highs during that time as well. They were a really good team. Hani Mukhtar, MVP. Like, they've had some good success in this league. No trophies yet. Then you have Miami, who was kind of like the bottom feeder, right? They were the bottom team. They made it into the playoffs last year. They were really struggling this year again at the start. So, change of leadership, and things have improved dramatically for this team. So when you look at what is to come on Saturday, on the 19th, when these two teams face off, they are playing against each other for a chance to win the first ever full Leagues Cup and get their first ever trophy in the trophy cabinet. The Union have only had a supporters shield with reaching all these finals. When you look at also the teams that Nashville had to beat to get here, right? Nashville had to beat Monterey, and they beat them 2-0. It was a little scary. It was a little scary yesterday if you're rooting for them. They had to beat Club America last week on penalties, which they almost didn't. They almost didn't. If it wasn't for, they had actually, remember if we talked about it last week, they wrapped that game up and the fans stormed the field and everybody is excited until VAR realized that the guy was off the line. Or else we're talking about probably if Nashville lost that, Club America probably still beats Minnesota. And you're looking at a Minnesota-Monterey semifinal to face Miami, and we don't have a guaranteed MLS Cup winner. I mean, an MLS team winner for Leagues Cup. That didn't play out that way, right? Nashville goes on. They actually beat Minnesota 5-0, a team that was playing pretty well in this competition. A long way in was scoring goals. Shut them out, too. 5-0. Nashville beat Minnesota on Friday. Miami spanked Charlotte 4-0 as well. Philadelphia squeaked past Querétaro. And LAFC really choked against Monterrey. Blew it in the last 10 minutes. Brutal. But when you're looking again at like the teams that the Union had to beat to get here, they were not playing at the top of their game. And part of that may be part injuries, right? Part of that also is just, I don't know, they just weren't playing well. I mean, when you have home field advantage this well, that's why I don't want to really say like it's just this game. Like the Union only had this bad game. They didn't play well against DC. They barely won that game on penalties. Then Querétaro, a team that they beat like 5-1, right, in the first group stage game or second group stage game. They go out there and almost lose to Querétaro. It took they almost went to penalties again. This took a very last minute, 90 plus 11 minutes, for Chris Donovan, to score the 90 plus 11 minute winner, even though Union had 20 shots to Querétaro's 4. It was scary times watching those games. And before that, they barely squeaked past the New York Red Bulls, who have not been great this season either. They're 11th in the league. DC, 9th. Querétaro, one of the worst teams in Liga MX, right? So when you're looking at it that way, that they had an easy path. People talk about Miami's easy path. Union had a pretty darn easy pass. They had every single game at home because it goes by supporter shield standings from last year, which they were second in. And as long as LAFC didn't advance to the final, the Union would host the final if they got there. Then they go up against the big Miami, who's been on fire. Miami scored, like I said, 4 against Charlotte. If you want to go back to the round before that, they beat Miami. They beat Orlando 3-1 in the first knockout stages. We go to the next stage where Miami drew with Dallas 4-4. They're still scoring, but that game was scary for them. They go to penalties and win that. Then they shut out Charlotte, and they go face the Union, and they win this game 4-1. And they get this thing off to a start here in the third minute with Joseph Martinez scoring. Andre Blake not really positioned well. He's not positioned well for Messi's goal in the 20th minute. Jordi Alba scores in the 45th plus 3. And that right there, I mean, I pretty much called this before the game too, because I didn't like the lineup. But it was, you know, 20 minutes in, I was like, this is over. There's no way I can see them coming back. Then when you get the nail in the coffin, you're going into halftime 3-0 down. There's no way you're coming back. That's like miracle type stuff, right? That is miracle type stuff to come back from 3-0 down at halftime. And you can't really blame the fans. The fans were there. I mean, it wasn't a completely messy Miami like sellout. I mean, it was a lot of Union fans, a lot of big noise, right? I heard them willing the team on. Couldn't make it stick, though, unfortunately. And when you get that win taken out of your sail 3 minutes into a game, that is tough. That's really tough. It's tough to come back from that. Really is tough to come back from that. And then, you know, you have Messi scoring in the 20th minute. Like I said, then Jordi Alba. And then you get the final nail in the coffin. But you know what? The sad thing is I did have hope when we made it 3-1 with Bedoya. I'm like, all right, let's go. We got to keep this thing going. But they had all of the advantages, right? I don't want to hear any complaints about the ref. I don't really want to hear any complaints about anything. They had every single home game. They came out playing flat. They came out with the terrible lineup, the changes, playing a formation that is not their typical formation, not starting Ura. I know that he didn't play well the game before that, or even starting Carranza. I know he has an injury. It's, you know, when you're starting Chris Donovan, while he did score the big goal, it was kind of like, all right, but I don't know if that means he's, you know, ready for a start, you know, like, that'd be good to maybe come on later. But I guess what Jim was trying to do is make sure that it's, you know, make sure you're tracking Busquets and Messi, keep it compact. And then hopefully we tire them out from pressing, and then we bring in our advantages and our speed and new legs, and then hope that we steal it. Well, that fell down the drain 3 minutes in. It took us too long to even adapt and make changes, which they did at halftime. But at that point, I think it's too late. When you're making those changes at halftime, I think it's a little too late. Maybe as soon as you're down 2-0 in 20th minute, you have to start changing formation, changing things up, because it wasn't working. And I'm not sure what it is about this team that can't win the big match. I'm not going to call for Jim Curtin's head. You know, I'm not going to call for him to get fired or anything. But it just seems like this is a very common theme. And I do wonder if they start opening up the purse strings for MLS teams, are the Union going to fall even further behind? Because one of their skills, right, is finding players, value players on the cheap that they can bring in to the team and perform well. And then they'll make a run, and they're very sound defensively, and they're usually playing pretty darn well. Well, the issue with that is if everybody else starts spending the way Miami does, I'm not saying they will, but I'm saying if there's more spending and they're spending it the way Miami is and bringing over talented players like that, you also have the issue that not every player you're going to find on the value side is actually going to translate to MLS. You know, there's been cases where we've brought over a player. The Union have brought over a player, and they haven't made the fit. They haven't made the jump, and then they have to give up on them, you know, in the next year or so. Sometimes you get lucky when you find somebody like Gazdag, right? When you find players of that caliber, Kai Wagner, for cheap, that is affordable for these type of teams. But unfortunately, I don't know if that can continue to go. Like, I don't know if that can continue to happen. We're kind of seeing the Cincinnati approach where they take the Union approach. They have some of the same former, coaches and general managers, right? But they also have a bigger budget. They'll also sell more, they'll buy more players, and they will spend the money to bring in some of those players. And I see Cincinnati probably making a good run in the future here if that continues, right? And I do wonder, what will MLS think if one of their biggest markets, Philadelphia, eventually fades back out and Jay Sugarman can't, you know, produce the fees to bring in big transfers? And will they try to force a sale? What will they just let the team kind of flounder? It's curious, right? It's very curious. Will they try to force a team to spend? It's that kind of stuff that I wonder how this happens going forward, right? But back to the original point, right? When you're looking at the quality opponents that Nashville had to beat to get here, I can't recall the Union beating this high of quality Liga MX teams to get there. I'm trying to verify this, by the way, too. I am pulling up their CONCACAF Champions League record, if I can. All right, so CONCACAF Champions League, round of 16, they beat Alianza, right, from El Salvador. They beat Club Atlas, so that's a big win, right? Quarterfinals. And they lose in the semis to LAFC. Leagues Cup, you know, they beat Tijuana 3-1. They beat Querétaro 5-1 in the second group stage game. You know, then they go to... It seemed like the group stage, they were actually playing pretty well. Right as soon as they hit the knockouts, right, is when they started really struggling. They have to face Monterrey in the third place game if they're going to try to qualify for the Champions League without going through the league. So in 2022, I'm trying to find their Champions League record there. Oh, yeah, they didn't qualify for it that year. Open Cup, they lose to Orlando in the first round. 2021. So this is the last time they were in the CONCACAF Champions League. I went to these games. For the life of me, I can't remember. I went to, like, the first round. Which was... Okay, Saprissa. Yeah, so they beat Saprissa, Costa Rica team. They beat Atlanta United, lose to Club America. Yeah. And that's it. Those are their Champions League runs, right? So again, they get to like the semis. Semis against LAFC. Semis against Club America. There you go. So again, when you're looking at the teams Nashville beat to get here, that's a pretty big task for them. They've done it. They have to now go on and face Lionel Messi, Joseph Martinez, Kermashi, right? Busquets and Jordi Alba, and see how they can do. And I think we're going to go ahead now and preview the League's Cup final. All right, so this game is taking place Saturday at 9 o'clock. That is on Apple TV. The third place game is at 6 o'clock, Philadelphia versus Monterrey in Philadelphia. This game, Nashville, Miami, is going to take place in Nashville, Geodis Park. In the history of this club, of these two facing off, they start at the same season. 4 wins, 2 draws, 2 losses for Nashville. So Nashville has won 4 times, Miami has won twice, and they've drawn twice. They have faced each other this season twice. Oh yeah, that's weird. They played each other in the same month. They played each other twice in May? That's an interesting... So May 17th, when it was last in Nashville, Nashville won that game 2-1. May 23rd, the last time it was in Miami, and the last time they faced each other, Miami won 2-1, and that's pre-Messi and Busquets and Jordi Alba. So very interesting to see what exactly is going to happen in this match. My money, of course, is on Miami. The way that Miami's been playing, I think Miami is going to beat Nashville. Nashville is usually pretty good defensively, though, so I think that they might be able to hold them off better, but we said the same thing about Philadelphia. Though I do think Nashville has been having a better tournament, so I wouldn't, you know, put it past them to win this game. I do think truly it's anybody's game, but if I had to guess, if I had to make a pick, it would be Miami lifting their first ever trophy as the League's Cup 2023. And of course, right after this, they have another semifinal that they have to play, as they will be going on to the U.S. Open Cup semis, Miami. And that's why their game is also postponed on the 20th. So will the Unions, because there is they have the third place game. So the Union shouldn't be playing then. U.S. Open Cup against Cincinnati on Wednesday. So they're going to have a bit of a turnaround, right? 19th is Saturday. 20th, the league starts back up again for teams that were not in the first, in the final, final four. And then Wednesday will be the midweek U.S. Open Cup, Cincinnati versus Miami at 7 o'clock and Houston, Salt Lake at 9:30. When you look at the teams that are left, if Miami gets past Cincinnati, I have a tough time seeing how they lose to Houston or Salt Lake at this point with the way that they're playing. Which means in Messi's first month here, he can win 2 American trophies back to back. And you also cannot count them out of the playoffs. Yes, they are last place. Yes, they are 12 points back. They also have 2 games in hand. If they win those games, let's say they win the 2 games in hand, right? 6 points. That'll put them at 24 points. Which is still just enough to be above Toronto in 14th, but still below NYCFC in 13th. Then they would only be 6 points back of DC. That's 2 games. They have 22 games that they've played. So they have 12 games left. They can conceivably, mathematically, for sure, still get in the playoffs. And the way that they're playing, and they're beating teams like Philly that way and making Andre Blake look terrible that way, I have no doubt at this point that Miami is really going to actually make the playoffs. And that might not happen, right? They might lose both of these cups that they're in too. But with the way that they're playing, I don't know how you could ever really bet against them at this point. So for people that are saying like, oh, thank God that they're not a threat in the league, I can't say that yet. I do think that they could conceivably make the playoffs, and when they make the playoffs, anything can happen. They can win the whole thing. And if Messi comes over and wins like a treble immediately, that's kind of insane. They've already qualified for the Champions League, so they don't have to worry about that. Champions Cup now, whatever you want to call it. So we know for sure we will see Messi in the Champions Cup next season with Miami. I don't know if they're good enough to win that. I mean, with the way that they played in League's Cup, of course. But they'd actually have to start traveling at that point. And seeing how the travel across this whole continent, which has bigger travel, more miles than, you know, Europe and stuff. If the travel in that type of competition will get to a player like Messi, Alba, and Busquets more, that they're not used to it. Right now, they've had it pretty cushy, right? They've played all of their games in Florida, except for, I think, the game in Philly. And now, of course, they'll have to go to Nashville. So it's interesting to see how that's going to go. I don't know who I'm rooting for in this. I think I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it, honestly. And I think that's what everyone should do. I know some people are a little salty about how Messi has come over and dominated. Look, 9 goals, right? 9 goals in League's Cup. Joseph has 9 goals for Inter Miami this whole like season. So I would say if you want like a good story, and if I probably want more ratings on my podcast here and the YouTube, it'd probably be like Messi winning would probably help with that, right? But what I like about this is that both of these teams are playing for their first ever trophy. And what else I also like about this is that we have for sure an MLS winner of the first ever League's Cup. We'll see what changes happen to it afterwards. I know Liga Mekis was upset with stuff, particularly the travel and the refs. But I do wonder how that'll go. So the winner of this League's Cup final will get a bye into the round of 16 of the expanded 2024 Champions Cup. And the loser would just go into round one, the first round. Third place game, Philadelphia, hosting Monterrey. Monterrey has already secured a 2024 CCC spot by their performance in Liga MX's tables. Philly has not clinched this spot otherwise, so a victory is needed for them to return. Because if Monterrey wins this and they've already qualified, they'll qualify through this in the third place game, and then the other spot for Liga MX will go to a Liga MX team next on the Liga MX aggregate table list for 2022 to 2023. And then, of course, you know, this is eventually when you get to the CONCACAF Champions Cup, that is eventually going to get us a spot into the Club World Cup, which we're hosting here in 2025. Could you imagine if Messi is playing in the Club World Cup in 2025 because Miami makes a run in the Champions Cup as well? I'm not sure if we know the full qualification, so they might not have to even win it. You know, they might take like the top two, the top whatever from each of those. I don't think we fully know how that all works yet. All right, let's look ahead to the league and we'll kind of refresh everyone on who is in what position in the league. So if we go to the Eastern Conference, Cincinnati is running away with it. 51 points after 23 games. Second is New England Revolution with 43 points. They have a lot going up in the air right now with Bruce Arena. We still don't really know what has happened there or how long he's going to be out. Philadelphia Union in third with 40 points. Nashville in fourth with 38, Orlando in fifth with 37, Columbus Crew in sixth with 36, Atlanta in seventh with 35, Chicago in eighth with 32, and DC United currently the last team in the playoffs in the East, in ninth place, 30 points below the playoff line. Montreal in 10th with 29 points. Red Bulls in 11th with 26. Charlotte in 12th with 26. New York City FC in 13th with 26 points. And Toronto in 14th with 19. And Miami in 15th with 19. But like I said, Miami has had the least amount of games. They have 22. Western Conference, St. Louis still sit top of that. They are first with 41 points after 23 games. LAFC, no longer has games in hand now. They are in second with 37 points, 4 points off of first. RSL in third after 24 games. They have 37 points. Seattle in fourth with 36 points. They've also played 24. Austin in fifth with 23 games played, 32 points. San Jose in sixth with 32 points after 23 played. Vancouver in seventh with 31 after 22 played. Dallas in eighth with 30 points. They've been free-falling this season. I had them high prediction. That's not turning out well. They have 30 points after 23 games. Houston in ninth with 29 points and 23 played. Under the playoff line, Minnesota, who's been kind of streaky at times, they're in 10th with 28 points. They've also only played 22. SKC has played 25, and they have 26 points, averaging just a little over 1 point per match. Portland are now in 12th and underneath of SKC. They've played 23 matches. They have 26 points. They have two games in hand to get over SKC. LA Galaxy languishing in 13th with 22 points after 22 played. And Colorado, bottom of the West, 19 points after 23 games played. The games that are this weekend, this is Sunday, all eyes on League's Cup on Saturday. On Sunday at 7:30, we have Columbus Crew versus Cincinnati in the Hell is Real Derby. This is at on FS1. It's also free on Apple TV. Miami and Charlotte was postponed. New York Red Bulls and DC United at 7:30. That's also free on Apple TV. NYCFC and Minnesota at 7:30. Toronto and Montreal at 7:30. That is free. Chicago hosting Orlando at 8:30. Houston hosting Portland at 8:30. St. Louis hosting Austin at 9:30. This is free, and it's on FS1 as well. LA Galaxy hosting RSL at 10:30. LAFC hosting Colorado at 10:30. Seattle and Atlanta at 10:30. And Vancouver, San Jose at 10:30. So there you have it. Those are the games that are upcoming this weekend. And then, like I said, Open Cup, Wednesday, August 23rd, Cincinnati, Miami at 7, Houston, RSL at 9:30. But that about wraps us up. I guess comment below and send us your messages, whatever. Let us know what you think is more important. League's Cup, I know it's only the first year of it, but I feel like you're playing much bigger competition. Supporter Shield. How would you rank these? Let's make it that fun. How would you rank these? MLS Cup, Supporter Shield, CONCACAF Champions Cup, League's Cup, Open Cup. How would you rank them in importance? In my mind, it goes MLS Cup, Champions Cup. Well, that's tough. That's tough. I feel like Champions Cup is probably number one. And then I put MLS Cup, League's Cup, Open Cup, Supporter Shield at the very bottom. I like winning actual competitions that have a knockout round facing each other off in a cup final. I like those more than a Supporter Shield. So that's the way I would rank them. Leave your rankings in the comments below or send us your emails, tweets, Facebook, Instagram, all at Stateside Show on all of those platforms. Thank you all for watching along or listening along with us. Have a great rest of your week. Enjoy the last round of the League's Cup, third place match, and the final. It should be a really good one. Hani Mukhtar facing off against Lionel Messi. Can't wait.